It's 9:05 at Q92 Radio. Good morning, everyone. Time for the Saturday Morning Coaches Show, brought to you by Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods in Dawson, the Country Butcher in Dawson, and Madison Bottling Company. Now the Coaches Show with Dick Newman and Paul Ramo.
Good morning and welcome to the Lacaparra Valley Culture Show. Dick Newman bringing you the report again this morning. Paul Ramo at his usual position at the control panel. Before we start, a couple of announcements. Due to the weather, the Lacaparra Elementary football will be postponed today, will be canceled today, and be they'll have that on Tuesday after school, after practice out at the school on Tuesday. Also, flag football for the elementary in Dawson Boyd is canceled today as well. Our show today will be just two coaches, as cross country had no events during the week, and they are in Millbank right now, probably running in the rain. Hopefully, maybe it's postponed because of some lightning, things like that. And the volleyball had no events this week, but they're in a tournament at Lakeview in Cottonwood today for volleyball. Both are scheduled to start at 9:30, so we'll have to wait and see. Right. I'm sure the volleyball will play. That's indoors, so. So we'll go through a bunch of scores. We got a lot of time to talk to Dr. Hacker and Tony Smith, who's in the studio right now, about football. But let's go through a lot of football scores. Most of these are from the immediate area. Of course, the game you heard with Paul Ramo and myself out at the school last night, Lacaparra defeated Dawson Boyd 13-7. We'll hear all about it with Tony in about 3 or 4 minutes, whenever I get done with these scores. Mineota defeated our next week's opponent, Yellow Medicine East, by his final score 63-19. Bold all over McGrath, 67-7. Russell Tyler Ruthton defeated Wabasso 20-7. Camby in a squeaker, or a well-played game, 12-6 over Lakeview. Edgerton over Renville County West, 60-20. Hillcrest Lutheran over Ortonville. Wow, this was lights out. 68-42, that's 110 points. Wow. Referees had to have oxygen, I think. Sleepy Eye United over Tracy Milroy Ballaton. Sleepy Eye would have used to have two teams, the St. Mary's and the public school. Now they're united together, and they defeated TMB 24-14. Painesville shut out Maple Lake 14-0. Sauk Center, wow, way over Minnewaska 46-8. Morris Area, Chicago, Alberta, over Thief River Falls 40-21. Howard Lake, Waverly, Winsted 21, Montevideo 6. New London Spicer over Foley 10-6. Browerville Eagle Valley over ACGC 30-24. KMS shut out Benson 41-0. BBV over West Central Area 44-14. Marshall in a close game over Wilmer 28-21. And Springfield defeated Murray County Central 27-14. Well, that brings us to our game then last night. Tony Smith in the studio with a big smile on his face, and very happy about the way the Eagles and the Blackjacks played last night. It was a fun game.
Yeah, actually, after the game, I told the kids, you know, it wasn't pretty at times and it wasn't perfect, but you know what? We competed and we played hard, and it was just a little different look in our eyes as the game went along. But you know, someone had asked me, have you ever seen 4 fumbles in 5 plays? And I said, you know, I don't think I've ever seen that. I think I said this last night, but I asked the official, I said, do you mind if we go get some stick 'em and spray it on the ball so we can eliminate some of those? He said, sure. I said, thanks. We'll do that. No, it was a good night. Obviously, very well attended. Anytime the Dawson and Lacaparle get together for an event, it's going to be well attended. And then obviously with the benefit last night for Spencer, you know, a lot of people came out. Yeah, Lacaparle County Fair is going on, but there was still quite a few people out to the valley last night.
Well, there was, you know, and the meal went over well, and they raised a lot of money. They had raffle for 15 bicycles and then all kinds of prizes, t-shirts and all kinds of memorabilia. And Spencer got to go out with the flip of the coin. That was quite an event for him.
Yeah, he was very excited. And as I was talking to the kids before the game in the theater, as we do our pregame, I said, you know, Spencer is one of us, and the fact that his dad is from here, his mom's from here, Corey's on the school board. Spencer does not go to school here at Lacaparle, but I said, you know, we want to give this kid an experience that he's going to remember, and I feel like that happened last night for and in both schools and both communities. Or all communities were very supportive of the young man, and it was just very nice to see everyone come together for a kid that most of the students probably don't know who he is, but it's still the situation, and it's still people in our community, and that's maybe one of the many great things about small town is people coming together for a good cause.
Well, and Dawson Boyd and their following recognized Spencer, too, and anytime something was mentioned about him and his progress with his cancer, they would clap on what was said on trying to get his recovery. And then a special treat for him was the nurse. Nurses get attached to certain patients. The nurse that works a lot, a real lot, in Rochester at the Mayo Clinic drove all the way out here for the game. And when Spencer saw her, I guess he really lit up. And then Paul interviewed her during halftime, so you can go on the radio station's website and listen to that interview.
Yeah, that's an amazing thing to drive from Rochester out here for that. But you're right; I'm sure that there's an attachment there, you know, it's kind of a touching moment to see him get as excited as he did about that.
Yeah. Well, let's turn our attention to the football game. You know, you mentioned what I try to do when I'm broadcasting and put the time on the clock when change possessions. Well, in that series of four fumbles, four fumbles happened in about 2 minutes. I was writing down the time on the clock, and here the other team recovered a fumble. So back and forth four times.
Yeah, and I think it was. And when I went back and looked, I don't know, maybe three of them weren't even a real contact on the play. But it's early in the game. Both teams are relatively young. Everyone's out there trying to make a play and the nerves and what have you. So, you know, those are things that we need to clean up, and those are correctable things. Unfortunately, we've turned the ball over 9 times in 2 games. That's not a good number. That's not a good ratio. That's not a good average. But the kids know it. I mean, we'll continue to work on that.
Well, when all the fumbling was over, then finally Dawson got possession at their own 43-yard line with 8 minutes and 8 seconds left in the first quarter, and they marched down and scored with 3:42. So let's go through the scoring a little bit.
Okay. Well, yeah, you had mentioned that they scored. Nate Hansen caught a touchdown pass from Gunnar Liebel, and then the extra point to make it 7-0. And then it was kind of they were playing a four-man front and dropping seven guys, because the week before we had some success throwing the ball, and we had tried to mix it in a little bit between the run and the pass, but it wasn't working, and our defense did a nice job. Actually, had them turned over twice on downs, and what was it, with about 5 minutes to go in the half, we turned them over on downs, and we marched the ball. And at that point, it was kind of the decision of, we're just going to run it. And as I was watching back, driving home last night, talking to Nolan about the game, and again this morning watching the film, it's kind of a luxury. It's a nice thing to have, to be able to run the football when the defense kind of dictates that, and to be able to throw the ball when the defense is kind of letting us do that. You know, some programs are able to just run. I'm of the mind that I like to take what the defense is giving us, and I felt like we did that last night. We were able to put that drive together, and I believe it was on a third down, Davis Patzer found Caden Kessler in the left corner of the end zone, wide open. And as I was watching the film back today, the defensive back just lost track of him, and he floated to the corner, and he was wide open. He actually has stitches in his hand, and he had been catching balls all week, kind of one-handed, off his helmet, off his body. He's got the knack to catch difficult passes. And so when he caught that ball, when the ball was in the air, it's like, well, he's going to catch that one, because that's what he'd been doing all week with that hand. And so the extra point was good, make it 7-7. And that was what, 15 seconds to go in the half?
Yes. And it started with, at the 5:54. So in a little over 5 minutes, you marched it right down the field. You went right off, running the ball right up the middle.
Yep. We kind of switched it off between TJ running the ball in the middle and then Landon Weber. The guys up front did a nice job. They kind of owned up to the fact that this is a play that's working, and they were excited to run it, and they made some adjustments as time went on with that, but I thought for the most part that was a very successful play for us last night. So we go into halftime 7-7, and there wasn't a lot for us to make as far as adjustments go, other than we just need to hang on to the ball and not give it back to them. Keep everything in front of us on the defensive end, and let's play. And then it came out in the third quarter. I think it was a three and out for them to start their possession in the second half.
Yep.
And I felt like our defense got a little hungrier, got a little faster, got a little bit more aggressive as the night went along. And that's really what we've been asking for out of those guys, whether it's the first 11 or any of the subs that come in, the four or five guys that might sub in, is to play with an aggression, but also understand that what is your assignment, and do the assignment to the best of your ability. Don't try to save the world, as we say, and try to do somebody else's job. And I thought for the most part last night, we did a very good job of that. And obviously you can tell by holding that team to 7 points. And then, you know, as the third quarter unwound, we were driving the ball down the field again, and we were able to hit Molden across the middle on a play action pass, and they had started to bring up their safeties and their linebackers because we had success running the ball. Threw it over to Molden, and I think he caught it at about the 4 yard line and drug the kid a couple of yards and dove in, and unfortunately we missed the extra point. It was off the left upright to make it 13-7. And then as we got into the fourth quarter, we continued to run the football and control the clock. I felt like they had the entire momentum in the first half as far as time of possession. Well, we had it in the second half. And after an unfortunate fumble, I'm kind of thinking that if I'm watching back the film correctly, I think Davis's knee was down on that one. But there is no challenge flag or whatever, so they call it a fumble. Again, the defense rose to the occasion. We got an interception, got the ball down to the, what was it, the 6-7 yard line. Went with a couple of Caden Molden specials with the wedge play. And then we thought, let's try, or at least in my mind, I was like, let's see if we can put this thing out of reach and do a little play action. And unfortunately, we had a little miscommunication on that, but the ball fell incomplete. Then we thought, well, we'll line it up. Obviously, we know that Caden's got a strong leg, and it was on that left hash. He had been practicing in pregame, stepped up, and unfortunately, it was blocked. Caden hops on the ball, fourth down, and or a turnover on downs. So then we're thinking, all right, we got to keep doing what we've been doing defensively. We had a couple of nice plays defensively, and we were able to milk it away with a couple of victory formation plays. And then it was kind of madness on the field there with the students and our fans. You know, after every game, we sing the school song. It's a whole lot more entertaining and a lot more fun and a lot louder after a victory. So, you know, the kids were excited, and well, they should be. They fought hard last week, came up 2.5 yards short, and fought hard this week, and we were able to pull out a close one. And I told the kids before the game that I think tonight's going to be a close game. No idea what score is going to be, but I said I think this is going to be a close one, and I got a feeling that we're going to figure out a way to pull this one out, and we did. So very, very excited for the group of guys. Like I said, they were very excited. Their friends and their classmates were very excited for them. So a lot of fun. I don't know if it was probably 45 minutes or an hour. There were still people out on the field talking after the game, rehashing all of the things that happened. So whether it's a good thing or a bad thing, I think that's what kind of Lacaparl has been known for, is the after game conversations. And so but yeah, it was a good night all the way around.
Yeah, and those kids suffered through a winless season last year, and in many cases by a very large margin. They've put in the extra work going all for winter and spring sports, but also hitting the weight room and thinking about how they're going to improve themselves, and they proved that already in these first two games this year.
They have, and a lot of lessons learned last year, a lot of hard lessons learned last year, but a lot of growth, and you can see that already. So, and as one of the captains said last night after the game, I believe it was TJ Mitchell, hey, we're a good team here, and let's not just kind of rely on this. Let's continue to grow and get better. So, very well said by him.
Okay, well, let's go through some of the statistics.
Okay, throwing the ball last night, Davis Patzer was 9 of 13 for 92 yards, had 2 touchdowns, did have an interception. Caden Molden was 1 for 2 for 23 yards. The one completion was on a fake punt. We had been working on that, and usually Josh Benson has one that he has going into every game. And as we were lining up, he's like, well, should we run it? Should we run it? I said, hey, if you think that you got the advantage of what you're looking for, then let's run it. Again, Kessler comes down, kind of a one-handed catch, but very well executed. Nice job up front, good snap, which the snap had to be from TJ Mitchell because Caden Molden's hand was a little banged up. So he stepped in, had a nice snap, had a nice throw and a nice catch and a first down. So that was a nice momentum builder for us there. Rushing the ball, Landon Weber had 14 attempts for 53 yards. TJ Mitchell, 9 attempts for 42 yards. And there's where we just started to kind of grind that game out on them. Caden Molden had 4 attempts for 16 yards. Davis Patzer, 4 attempts for 5 yards. Dylan Kaimig had 1 attempt for 4. And Peyton Ronmacher had 1 attempt for minus 4 yards. Receiving, Caden Molden had 4 catches, 44 yards, and a touchdown. Caden Kessler had 2 catches, 38 yards, and a touchdown. Dylan Kaimig had 2 catches for 23 yards. And TJ Mitchell had 2 catches for 10 yards. Defensively, Caden Molden had 5 tackles. 3 of those were tackle for loss and sacks. Had 2 assists, had a forced fumble. TJ Mitchell had 5 tackles, 5 solo tackles, and 5 assists. Caden Kessler had 5 solo tackles and 3 assists. Dylan Kaimig, who had 4 tackles and assist. And as the game went on last night, we kind of decided we were going to do our best to take away Boyk. And if you just kind of do the eye test there, you're looking at it going, well, Dylan Kaimig's 5'7 on a good day, and Boyk's 6'8 on a good day. So we had to figure out a way to get creative. And the one thing about Dylan is he's got a will to compete and a will to win. And so he doesn't let those things. I mean, he went up there a couple of times and did the best job that he could. And so was and Davis Patzer on the other side. And when Brayson was lining up in the slot, whether it was Tyler Earp or if it was Peyton Rademacher, those guys did a nice job on him. And then we had Caden over the top. And I mentioned this last night, too. For the cornerbacks or for the defensive backs, their best friend has got to be the guys up front and getting a pass rush and helping them out. And for the most part last night, we did that. We got some hurries on him. We got some quick throws, got some errand throws. And so, you know, he did a lot of scrambling last night, and part of that I felt like that was because of the guys up front getting a good pass rush.
Let's name some of those guys up front in the defensive line and linebackers. I know you're always blitzing a linebacker or two on every play.
Yeah, and with this defense, we've given ourselves a chance with only 3 down linemen to shuffle a few guys in and keep them fresh for not only on the defensive line, but then again on the offensive line. You know, those guys, let's see, we got Blake Wells. He had a sack last night late in the game there, which was big. Let's see, Caden Mortensen, Caden Molden, Brock Bjornhild, Drew Borsted, Cole Bjornson. We have a new student in Tlacaparl from Iowa. Jesse Wynn is his name. And so, you know, he got some snaps last night. I hope I'm not forgetting anybody on that defensive line. We kind of shuffle them in and out. And then the linebacking crew, sophomore Gabe Lowry, and then TJ Mitchell, Landon Weber, Peyton Rademacher, Tyler Earp, Noah Meyer. Brant Schomer has played some linebacker for us early this year. So, I mean, that's what we want this to be. We want this to be, I guess you want to view it as organized chaos. And when that can kind of happen, we speed them up. And that, I felt like that happened last night. Finish off our tackling here.
Yep.
Caden Mortensen had 3 tackles, 2 sacks, and a tackle for loss. Peyton Rademacher had 2 tackles, 4 assists. Brock Bjornhild had 2 tackles. Noah Meyer had 2. Davis Patzer had a tackle and an interception in the fourth quarter. Blake Wells had a tackle, which was a sack. Gabe Lowry had a fumble recovery. Landon Weber had a fumble recovery. And Tyler Earp had a tackle. Special teams-wise, TJ Mitchell had 1 return for 28 yards, had a punt return for 13. Kicking in the punt, Caden Molden obviously was 1 for 1 on the pass, but he had 2 punts for an average of 36 yards. He had that kickoff in the end zone, which, you know, that's such a big thing, I think, in high school football. Is all of a sudden 80 yards is a long ways for high school teams to drive, especially play after play after play. So there's where we try to eliminate the big plays. But I think by and large, as I think one of the other captains said, I believe it was Caden Mortensen, said, listen, this was a group deal. On Wednesday, we lined up our first group against our JV defense, and our JV defense answered the call and really got after us in our 11-on-11, and had nothing but compliments for those guys. And I said, listen, you guys have now upped your game, and the expectation is this is what our scout team should look like on a weekly basis. So, you know, those guys helped get us ready. Now, they weren't out there on last night, some of those guys, but you watch them cheering and having fun and being excited. But their time is getting ready on, during the week. And obviously they have the JV games. The freshmen, that's a tough year. You're dealing with new plays, new scheme, more scheme. And then not only is that, you're trying to play a JV game, get lined up, run the scout stuff. So, you know, it's a big ask of freshmen, and I feel like this group has done a nice job helping us get ready for those games on Friday nights.
Okay. All right. Anything else about the game last night?
I suppose it's something you could talk about, play in and play out, right? Win or lose, but those are just great experiences, and you hope that this is a nice little momentum builder for us. This district, there aren't many easy nights, and so you hope that you continue to build and grow and come together as a group.
Yeah. Well, I know Dawson, we remarked a number of times during our broadcast, and then even the talk, post-game talk with you, is a very, very young team. But you're pretty young yourself. The one advantage is that your juniors and sophomores got a lot of experience last year without any success. But they've grown, they've matured, and. Turn things around right now, 1-1 record. But I don't think anybody. I know Paul and I would have done the same thing, going for 2 points last week for the win. So can't fault you for that. So, but the kids grew with confidence.
Absolutely, and so, the more you sit in these close games, the less that stuff starts to rattle you, and you're comfortable, and you're able to execute.
Sure.
And it was a lot of fun for the group as a whole, coaches, players, student body. Like that was big.
Yeah. And for the whole evening with the stuff for that young man too.
Yep.
So we certainly enjoyed this win, but now you got work to do again for next Friday night. You go on the road again, and to a team that surprised everybody last year, and they're still got some good athletes because they were in the state tournament in baseball, and those guys. Play football as well.
Yeah, they, like you said, they had a good year last year, and they lost quite a few seniors, but they still had some underclassmen playing, and we can't take anything for granted, and that's what we talked about last night. Is we got to continue to improve and not let this be the highlight of the year, and so very excited to dive into that and see how we can scheme up. Some more success.
Yeah. Your other teams in football?
Yes. The JV on Tuesday night played Mineota, and unfortunately they're not slowing down any. It's just seems like it's a well-oiled machine. And then the junior high played Benson on Thursday. Both squads were defeated Thursday night. But now, as we take a look going forward here, the JV plays at Dawson on Monday night, and then on Tuesday, the junior high plays at Lacaparle against Dawson. So we'll get back-to-back games Monday and Tuesday, and then we'll get ready for Friday night.
Okay, and Friday night is away at Granite Falls against the Yellow Medicine East.
Correct.
And they played Mineota last night and did score 3 touchdowns.
Yep, so. Yeah. I don't have that film yet, so we'll see kind of how that all shook out. But, yeah. We just need to put one foot in front of the other as all the cliches come into play here, right?
Okay, Tony. Thanks for the talk this morning. It's always enjoyable when the things work out the way they should.
Exactly, the way they should.
And we're looking forward to doing the broadcast again next Friday night in Granite Falls and talking to you a week from today on the Coach's Show.
Sounds good. Thank you, guys.
Tony Smith on football. I'll take this break and get on the phone and talk to a busy Dr. Hacker about girls' tennis after this.
You'll find quality meat for your family's table at the Country Butcher, downtown Dawson. Stop by right downtown or give them a call, 320-769-2238. The Country Butcher will accept credit cards, checks, EBT, SNAP, and cash. Store hours Tuesday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 5:30 p.m., Saturdays, 9 a.m. to 1 p.m., Sunday by appointment. That's the Country Butcher in Dawson. They're a cut above the rest. Sundrop, the original citrus soda, predates any of the other copycat citrus sodas. Sundrop is a local favorite that has been distributed by Madison Bottling Company since the 1960s. Thanks for making Sundrop the local citrus soda favorite. Distributed by Madison Bottling Company, serving the local area for more than 100 years.
Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods, right downtown Dawson, Minnesota, is your one-stop shopping headquarters for graphic art design, embroidery, screen printing, and specialty advertising products. They specialize in corporate, team, and school clothing, hats, jackets, t-shirts, sweats, advertising specialties for any occasion like family reunions, summer camps, and more. Awards and Sporting Goods. At Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods in Dawson, they offer personalized stock or custom graphic designs to fit any job you may need. Give them a call at 320-769-2317 for information or look them up on the web at www.jimsclothing.com.
Last year, Minnesotans broke another sales record for ethanol blended fuels, and cleaner burning options at the pump are now more widely available than ever. Ethanol helps reduce our reliance on petroleum while benefiting the environment by reducing greenhouse gas emissions. And unlike petroleum, ethanol is a homegrown option that helps Minnesota's economy. Learn more about fuels and find a station at betterfuel.org. Brought to you by your local Lacaparle County corn and soybean growers and their checkoffs.
Welcome back to the Culture Show. Talking to Dr. Brent Hacker on girls tennis. And you had a couple of events this week, Doctor.
Yeah, we've been on the road. We're on the road this year. So minibus is putting on the miles. So we headed up to Sauk Center on Tuesday. So the varsity played there at Sauk. And JV hosted Monty that same day. And then on Thursday, we were back on the road. We went over to Waska to see them. And then we hosted the JV Waska on our end. So, okay. Yeah, so we've been busy. We know that our conference this year is going to be pretty close. We're going to be tight at a lot of positions. We just got a big chunk in the middle as far as teams that are probably going to be playing out for positions. So we ended up taking a 5-2 loss at Sauk Center. We picked up wins at our 1-2 singles positions. That was Hannah Oy and Kaylee Jan. Hannah won in 7-5, 6-2, and Kayla had a 6-3, 6-0 match. So they did a nice job there. Sadie Hacker and Elsie Wiebe are our 3 and 4 singles players, and Sadie picked up a tough loss. She took the first set 6-1, and then the match got away a little bit. She ended up losing the next 2 sets 6-4, 6-4. And Elsie Wiebe at 4 singles was 6-2 in the first set and fought back strong, but lost that second set at 7-5. So, you know, they're doing a nice job. Everybody in our singles position is playing a new spot. Hannah and Sadie played last year, but they're at 3 and 4. And, you know, moving up the ranking in singles is tough. And Hannah especially has her work cut out for her. You know, just every team we see, she's playing the best player on the team out in singles. So so we're taking our lumps there, but she was able to pick up a nice win that day. Gertie Sieg and Taylan Jorgensen have been doing a nice job at one doubles. Unfortunately, lost a tough three-setter. Lost the first set 7-5. Picked up a 6-2 win on the second set, but then lost the third 6-2. Just weren't able to close it out. You know, one of the things we've talked about this year is just when you get close and you're looking at that score and you're up 5-1 or you're up 5-4, whatever it is, and you start thinking, I just need one more game, and you're not thinking about playing that point and focusing on the ball that's in front of you at the moment, you know, bad things happen. So I think a little bit that's just our inexperience in our positions. You know, we haven't had people playing these spots, and well, you play those top positions, one doubles, one singles, in those areas, two singles, all the way. You know, you give your opponent an opportunity, they're going to take it. They're smart enough and a strong enough player where they know what to do if you're going to give them some easy balls or play careful. So we're learning, but we're improving. Maya Virgie and Alexis Olsen are both sophomores from Dawson, and they're teaming up at two doubles, posted a 6-3, 6-1 loss. And then Val Piotr and Jordan Johnson are a third doubles team, and they also are 6-3, 6-1 with a loss. So, you know, those four last folks that I mentioned are all really playing up into varsity almost for the first time. Maya and Alexis had a little bit of experience last year, but, you know, those are the four new ones. We lost four very strong senior leaders last year. And so we've got four new fresh folks joining us, and they're doing a good job at two and three doubles. And, you know, there's so much to learn. We focus on, you know, take one thing away from your match, bring it to the next one, improve every day, every match,
right,
every time you're out there playing, try to learn something. So, but that was our SOC match. So, we were over to Wasca on Thursday, and Wasca's always tough. They're just tough. They've got a young team, actually. They've got one senior, but she plays exhibition. So they have a few juniors and a few sophomores, but they're not an older team. And they beat us 7-0. We were not really able to get into games with them. You know, credit to them for doing a good job playing their game. Hannah, Kayla, Sadie, and Elsie all across the singles positions lost. We were, you know, at one singles, we were 6-1, 6-1. At two singles, we were 0-1. A lot of times you just leave out the six. You just say what your last, the second score was, because that's really all that matters. You know the first number is going to be a six. So so Sadie lost 1-0. Elsie lost 3-4. Gertie Sieg, Taylan Jorgensen had some strong moments, but weren't able to be consistent and put enough of those together. Ended up a 6-3, 6-2 loss. Maya Virgie, Alexis Olsen, you know, at two doubles. Again, it's a position where you learn so much, and there's just so much you can improve on almost every time you step on the court. A 6-1 in the first set, but fought hard and took, you know, lost 6-4 in that second set, but really made some improvements there. Val Piotr, Jordan Johnson at three dubs, lost 6-2, 6-0 at Wasca. So Wasca took a win from us 7-0. So, you know, credit to them again. And the day after, on Friday, yesterday, we had a practice. I, you know, just asked the girls, like, you know, how did we get beat? What did Wasca do that we didn't do? And across the board, it's consistency, right? You know, get to the ball, put it back in play, let your opponent make the error. When you look at high school tennis, you know, 80% of points are made on an unforced error. So giving your opponent that opportunity, give them the ball, let them make the mistake sort of a strategy is super effective. It works almost all the time. And Wasca executed it very well. I mean, they just top to bottom, try to get the ball back in play. It may not be pretty, it may not be a smoking shot, but make us hit another one, that's what they did.
Okay.
Credit to them.
Well, you mentioned while you were playing those, the JV was also in action at Lac La Parle. How did things go there?
Yeah, so when we hosted Wasca on our end on Thursday, and so JV is a little less particular about the details, I guess you could say. So a lot of times they don't even necessarily keep scores or keep a team score, I should say. But, you know, talking to Austin afterwards, Right. All our gals got to play twice, and it was everybody was about 50-50. They won one and lost one. So, you know, that's really positive, and that's good to see, especially against a team like Waska. Tara Reichman is the coach up there, and she's been there longer than I have been here, so it's been a while. And she said, you know, numbers, they've got 40 kids out for tennis up there this year.
Wow.
So it's a good problem to have, but, you know, so they've got some depth there. So when they brought their team to our end for JV, they had, you know, 16 or 18 kids they brought down, and we had 9. So all of our gals got to play a couple times, which is good. It's good experience, and they get to see some stronger players, which is good.
Okay.
And then Tuesday, again, it was like when I visited with Austin afterwards, and it was kind of a 50-50, you know. Picked up some wins. We weren't swept across all the positions up and down, and in singles and doubles. So the gals, the JV gals, just getting those matches in, learning how to play with a little bit of pressure and people watching you, a lot different than just hitting the ball in practice. So that's a good experience.
Yeah, that's for sure.
I'll just swing down the JV lineup really quick, if you don't mind.
Sure.
So we've got a good solid 9 with us this year. Macy Moen is a 10th grader from Dawson. Kenna McTye, a 9th grader. Brandon Borstead, a 9th grader. And then we got a few 8th graders, including Reese Kuzman, Cameron Olson, Laura Schreier, Vanessa Piotr. And then a couple 7th graders we're happy to have. Greta Hacker and Kaylin Bendel are playing with us right now as well. So, you know, happy to have them. And we always take anybody who wants to roll over from, you know, in the middle of the season and start in 8th or in 8th grade, we're happy to have you. So.
Sure, yeah. And if you seem interested, talk to the athletic director and get your physical and join the team. Yeah,
absolutely. Never too late. So.
Well, talking to you beforehand, you got a very busy week next week.
Yeah, next week is going to be a little ugly for us. We're on the road, you know, for all of our matches. Just the home courts aren't safe enough and in good enough spot, condition to use for matches. So we head over to BBE on Monday. So they've got 4 courts, so it's going to be a long night. We kind of know that. So we're starting at 4 o'clock. All of our matches are 4 o'clock now, and really it's because we start losing light. And things are getting dark earlier, and most places don't have light. So we are at BBE Monday. Then we turn around and head over to Benson on Tuesday, and we're over to Morris on Thursday. And each one of those days that varsity is playing away, JV is hosting a match at home. So if you want to see some tennis and you don't want to drive, JV will be right out at the high school those days.
Right, right. Okay. Well, anything else?
I think we're, you know, I would just mention, again, kind of going back to, I think we've got some learning. We've got, hopefully we're taking lessons from our matches. I'm hopeful. Clearly I'm biased. I feel our players are good and they're solid, and we're getting into that thick of the season where we're going to be playing our conference matches and our section matches, and hopefully we can step up to the challenge at some of those and just play our best. You know, if we post a win, that's fine, but really what you want to do is just be, you know, giving your best out there on the court when you step up there.
Well, like all previous years, you're well into your schedule and your post schedule and your conference tournaments and things like that are right around the corner. So
that's great. We got two weeks left. Dick, that's it.
Well, but you and the girls have to remember what you look like at the beginning of the season and what you look like at the end, and if you see improvement, they have done their job.
There you go. That's exactly right. They're focusing on that, just getting better.
Just getting better. So and having fun at the same time.
That's important, right?
Okay. Well, thanks for the chat this morning. Best of luck. And we'll hear all about it on those 3 matches next week.
Sounds great. Thank you much.
That's Dr. Brant Hacker on girls tennis. We'll take this break and close out the show after this.
Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods, right downtown Dawson, Minnesota, is your one-stop shopping headquarters for graphic art design, embroidery, screen printing, and specialty advertising products. They specialize in corporate, team, and school clothing, hats, jackets, t-shirts, sweats, advertising specialties for any occasion like family reunions, summer camps, and more. Awards and sporting goods. At Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods in Dawson, they offer personalized stock or custom graphic designs to fit any job you may need. Give them a call at 320-769-2317 for information. information or look them up on the web at www.jimsclothing.com.
Sundrop, the original citrus soda, predates any of the other copycat citrus sodas. Sundrop is a local favorite that has been distributed by Madison Bottling Company since the 1960s. Thanks for making Sundrop the local citrus soda favorite. Distributed by Madison Bottling Company, serving the local area for more than 100 years. You'll find quality meat for your family's table at the Country Butcher, downtown Dawson. Stop by right downtown or give them a call, 320-769-2238. The Country Butcher will accept credit cards, checks, EBT, SNAP, and cash. Store hours Tuesday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. Saturdays, 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Sunday by appointment. That's the Country Butcher in Dawson. They're a cut above the rest.
Hi, this is John Dugan with Texas Best Barbecue. We're returning this year to the Lockapaw County Fair. We'll have beef brisket. We've got pork chops wrapped with bacon, loaded baked potatoes, and our famous pulled pork nachos. Come out and see us again this year at the Lockapaw County Fair.
Your local dairy farmers work hard for their county. The American Dairy Association of Lockapaw County is available to support all benefits and fundraisers in the county. This is all made possible because of the malt wagon at the Lockapaw County Fair and because of faithful customers like you every year. They're a nonprofit organization and would love to answer any questions you may have. The malt wagon at the Lockapaw County Fair, located across from the grandstand, they have a variety of flavors. They appreciate you stopping in. The 150th annual Lockapaw County Fair is happening September 7th through the 10th. This message brought to you by the American Dairy Association of Lockapaw County.
Back here at the station for to close out the culture show. Got a call from John Sherb over in Millbank. The cross country team will run. Was scheduled to start at 9:30. They've postponed it for some time. Somewhere around 10 o'clock, they'll start the junior high and then follow with the varsity boys and girls and the JV as well. And then a reminder, elementary football out at the Lockapaw Valley is canceled for today, and there will be after football practice on Tuesday. Will be elementary football at Lockapaw. Dawson Boyd flag football is canceled for today as well. And hopefully can get to the fair, everybody. It's a big event all 4 days. This is day three of the four, and weather, knock on wood, the weather will cooperate with us and help us celebrate 150 years of the Lockapaw County Fair.
Yep, it's been a fun fair so far. Just want to encourage people to stop down the Q92 booth in the East Commercial Building and the register for prizes and say hi, and we can talk sports too if you stop by.
Oh, sure can. Sure can.
So. Yeah, the rain passed us now. I think we're good for the rest of the day, maybe.
Well, knock on wood, and hopefully there's a lot of entertainment, the rodeo. And all that.
Hairball tonight.
Wow.
They're already here.
They're here.
They pulled in early this morning on their bus, yep.
Okay.
So hairball tonight, that should be a good one.
That should be a good one. So, all right, so as normally during the high school season, come up with a few Dick Newman sick jokes of the week. Well, here's number one of three. How do you make a tissue dance? Well, you put a little boogie in it. Number two, what kind of shoes do ninja wear? Of course, they are sneakers. And number three, and final one, how does a penguin build its house? It glues it together. Well, thanks for listening. Tune in again next Saturday morning. And just remember, you don't have to play a sport to be one.
Myers Electric and Infrared in Appleton is hiring. In order to better serve our customers and to keep up with demand, we are looking to add another journeyman electrician to our team. Paid holidays, paid time off, retirement plan, company vehicle, and top pay are just some of the benefits offered. If you would like to come work for a small family-owned company, give us a call today to see what we can offer you. Contact Jesse at 320-226-7447.
Vengeance is coming. Terror at every turn. in a new breed of haunted house. American Monsters, Onion Head's Revenge, only at Mall of America.
Fear is here.
See mallofamerica.com/American Monsters if you dare. Not for anyone with health concerns or under 10, but you.
You're mine.
Land of 10,000 Lakes has an ice ring to it, but actually Minnesota has more than 11,800 lakes. But who's counting?
Well, there's Ann Lake, Balsam Lake, Cass Lake, Detroit Lake, Eagle Lake, Fox Lake, Gull Lake, Hidden Lake, Adam Lake, John Lake, Craze Lake, Lean Lake.
But if water isn't your thing, Minnesota is also home to amazing hiking, biking, and more. Find your true north. Visit exploreminnesota.com.
Quarry Lake, Rainy Lake, Silver Lake, Toad Lake, Ewes Lock and Dam Pool 5A, Boss Lake.
Great music for Madison, Canby, and Ortonville on Q92, 92.1 FM.